Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Living Hope. We're glad that you're here. We like to begin our services with this greeting Christians have been using forever, as far as I know. The Lord be with you. Thanks. We believe that the Lord is present when we gather, that it's more than just checking a to-do thing, a religious to-do list or something, that when we get together to sing and pray and listen for His Spirit speaking through the Scriptures, that God is here, that He wants to meet with us. So to help get us in that frame of mind, would you bow your heads with me and let's pray. Thank you, God, for inviting us into this time and place where we get to gather together to meet with you. We do pray that you'll help us to have hearts and minds open to you. God, I believe you're always speaking. You're always reaching out to us, but you know how distracted we get. You know how focused we get on other things. And so for the next hour or so, can you help us just to bring all those other things to you? So that you can speak into our lives, so you can offer us peace where we have anxiety, so you can offer us comfort where we've been dealing with grief, so you can give us wisdom and guidance, so you can forgive and heal, so you can do all those things you want to do as the God who loves us, the God who made us, the God who knows us better than we know ourselves. Thank you, God. Thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you're able and interested, let's stand and let's sing. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me? Let's pray. God, we are so grateful that you give us this opportunity to piggyback on the work of great artists who write songs and these artists who perform them up front and lead us in singing to you our praise, our thanks, our gratitude to you, God, for your goodness, for the love you've shown, for the freedom you've given. God, thank you. Thank you for these moments where we get to celebrate your goodness to us. God, you know some of us need these moments pretty desperately. We go through weeks where we get pretty beat up, beat down, worn out, tired. And we need moments like this to be reminded that the God of the universe is with us. And that you give us your strength, you give us your Spirit to move us, to energize us, to guide us, to lead us, to give us all that we need to keep running this race you set before us. Thank you, God. Thank you for the chance to sing some hallelujahs to you, to give you thanks for your amazing love, your amazing grace. God, there's not a single one of us here that have earned our spot at the table. Every single one of us, you had to come find us. You had to come chase us down in those places where we were, those places we were living, trying to do things our own way. You came and found us, God. And some of us, you dragged us kicking and screaming into this relationship with you, into this awareness that the God of the universe loves us and that you sent your son Jesus to come and set us free from the bondage to sin and death and fear and the devil and all of that. Thank you, God. Thank you for your amazing love. And thank you again for this chance we have to center our hearts and thoughts on you. Please, God, help us to continue to do this so that we might experience your presence, so that we might hear your voice speaking to us today, so that we might have a little piece of that joy, of that, you know, that peace that you give. Thank you, God. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you. Thanks. Let's take a couple minutes to exchange peace with each other. Share that with somebody. Shake somebody's hand. Introduce yourself to someone. I hope everybody had a chance to get one of these little welcome bulletin things when you came in. Let you know what's going on around here. And inside, of course, is that little green welcome card. We always love it when you guys share with us that you were with us. And if you have a way we can pray for you or thank God with you, or you've got feedback or you want to get involved in something, maybe you want to help with that chocolate walk that's coming up on the 27th after Easter. The week after Easter, we're going to be, as part of this downtown chocolate walk, giving away 400 chocolates to people. And whether you want to help make them or want to help give them away, we do need some people to sit there in Toys in the Attic for a couple hours and give them to the people who have the little lanyards that paid to be a part of that event. That's going to be a chance to invite about 400 people to church. So if you'd like to do that in a way that's really easy, you're giving them chocolate, they're going to be happy, then let us know. And Easter is just right around the corner, 2 weeks away. So I figured this is my last chance to stand up here in a t-shirt, because I'm going to have to dress up a little these next couple of weeks. Palm Sunday, and kids are going to be coming in, and Easter, we'll have kids singing, and you know, it's kind of a big day, and Easter egg hunt and all that stuff. But I wanted to wear the 6K shirt to encourage you to sign up for the 6K. And we finally got all the stuff up out in the foyer. There's a laptop out there. You can sign up today if you want, or you can go on your phone. If I get boring in a few minutes, you can just go to Valpo 6K on your phone, valpo6k.com, and you can sign yourself up during the service. I think some of you did that maybe a couple of weeks. Is that when you signed up during the service? I got boring and so you... Okay. Oh, that's right. There was a discount the last couple of weeks. The discount's over. I apologize. But... that reminds me, I did want to make sure and let you know, they contacted us and a handful of other sites. Apparently, we were in the top, I don't know what percentage of 6K sites the last couple of years. And so to encourage us and to enable us to invite even more people, what World Vision did, they had some donors that basically, like I've encouraged some of you, and some of you have approached me and given me $50 and said, hey, if somebody wants to walk and can't afford it, you know, here's they can go and here's $50. They had some donors that gave, and we've got a certain number of little discount codes that we can punch in, just like the one the last couple of weeks for $10 off, except these are for free. We've got about 30 of them, and they said what works best is when these are like a bring one, get one thing. So if you are going to, if you're going to invite somebody and you get somebody to come to the 6K that's to sign up that's never done it with us before, let me know, and before you sign up, I'll give you their little super secret code to type in there, and yours will be free. Somebody else will have paid for your 6K. Does that sound good? That makes sense? So it's a $50 deal if you're over 18. It's $25 if you're 25 or under. And so that's some people that, they must know some really rich people, okay, to give enough money to pay for a whole bunch of people to walk in this. So if you're interested, and the money part has been something that's been like, oh man, I just don't have the $50 or the $25, find a friend who's got $50. Tell them about this six, that we can walk 5 laps around that thing, and when we do, they do it as a 6K because that's the average distance that these kids walk to get dirty water out of a stream or out of a puddle. It was just last weekend, I got to go to Chicago and be with some of these leaders from around the United States with Team World Vision. And got to see some pictures from the field, from the different places where they work. And seeing the picture of the stream where all these people were going to get water, and seeing just a few feet away the cattle drinking out of that stream, standing in that stream, I'm sure doing other things in that stream. Same place where they're getting their water that they're going to carry home and cook with or bathe with or whatever. And of course, there's all kinds of mud and other stuff from the people upstream. You know, it's not like they've got sewers that all your toilets flush into. They don't have toilets in most of these villages. So sanitation is a huge issue, and that's why the mortality rate for kids in many of these communities, for kids up to the age 5, 50% of them don't make it to age 5. Can you imagine that? I'm sorry. That's one of those things that when we adopted our twins and we looked at them, and now they're 3, and I thought, if we lived there, just by chance, if that's where we lived, where we were born, and I didn't get to choose to be born here, if I just happened to have been born in one of those parts of the world, in one of those villages, and I had these twin boys, odds would be good. I'd be saying goodbye to one of them before they turned 5 years old. And so if us giving $50 and, you know, whatever, great, they're going to send me a t-shirt. And I got a blue one. I think all of yours are going to be orange, but they sent me a blue one. And I've already got the little picture of the boy. His name's Vansella. He's 7 years old from the Democratic Republic of Congo. That he's going to get clean water because of my walk. I don't know, some of you are starting to get yours. I don't know where your kids are or how old they are, but you're going to get to see the kid that you get to provide clean water for. So I strongly encourage you, if you haven't already done it. And if you're saying, but I can't walk 5 laps around that thing. Okay, great, walk 1. You know, the $50 is going to provide the clean water whether you walk it or not, okay? But it's a lot of fun to do this together, and we'll have some jugs and things. Some of you have done the jerry can thing where we get the big 5-gallon. You've carried that a lap or two. I know Steve... I still have memories of Steve coming around. I think you did it the first and last lap, didn't you? Just thinking like, could I do this? Could I every day walk this far to get water, and that's the water that I had to use for the day? Okay. So this is my last chance to stand up here in a t-shirt and plug that. I'm not going to let you forget about it because it's May 4th, so we've got a little time, but it's about a month from now. So don't put it off too long because it sneaks up on you. So we are. There are other things you can read about in here. I'm sure you might be interested in getting involved in one of them. And if so, write it on that welcome card. Drop that in the offering box back there. And if you're giving, you can drop that in the box too. Or you can give online. But we're making our way through Luke as we head toward Easter, as we're making our way through the New Testament this year. And you can see in there this week, this last week we read chapters 10 to 14, and this week we'll be reading chapters 15 to 19, I think. Did we get that in there? Yep, Luke 15 to 19 this week, which means this coming Friday, you'll be reading all about Jesus entering Jerusalem and kind of the Palm Sunday thing that we'll celebrate next Sunday. But we've been watching these videos from the Bible Project, about 4 minutes long, that kind of walk us through Luke. And today's video really talks mostly about what we're about to read in these coming weeks. It has a little bit from this past week and spends most of the time on what we're going to be, where we're going to be headed. So let's go ahead and watch that together. And then we'll dive into this 15, which has that parable that I just mentioned and a couple of others that go along with it. I really do hope that you'll join us on this journey, especially as we get to now the second half of Luke's gospel, and then move into the book of Acts and letters of Paul as we make our way through through the summer. Boy, there's something about religious folks, isn't there? And that's, I count myself among them. That for some reason, you know, we find ourselves with this new hope. We find ourselves forgiven. We find our lives being changed by God. And then it's like after we've done this for a while, there's something about it. And maybe we're just doing this whole church thing wrong. Maybe that's, I don't know, if we are kind of creating a culture of this or something. There's something about us that all of a sudden, it's like we forgot where we came from. It's like we all of a sudden are looking down on other people and thinking like, well, of course, I deserve this, but those people, no way. And we start doing the stuff that Jesus had to confront over and over again. As he mentioned near the end of that, the only entry requirement is that we humble ourselves and recognize our need for God's mercy. And if we'll do that, then anyone is welcome, all of us. That's how we all got in on this thing. So what I wanted us to focus on today was something from Luke chapter 14, which is what we just read this past Friday, if you're following along. And one of those moments where Jesus is at a dinner, where he's at the table with some folks. And if you read this past week, there were a couple of different moments like this. Some of them much more confrontational even than what we're going to read. There was one of them where he's at a religious leader's house, and he just goes into one of those, woe to you, Pharisees, woe to you, starts like just blasting them. And I'm having kind of a hard time with that, to be honest with you. I mean, he's a guest in someone's house. Have you ever invited somebody into your house and then they like are incredibly rude and they're insulting you and your family? You're like, in my house, get out, you can leave now, you know. And Jesus does this a couple of different times where he's eating with these religious leaders, and it's like at some point he just can't hold it back anymore, and he just has to, I don't know, just has to let them know they're not doing this thing right. So today's chapter is some of that. In Luke chapter 14, we read one Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. At this point, they're all very suspicious about Jesus, like he's going to do something, and they're kind of hoping he does something that they can use against him. So they're watching very carefully. It says, there in front of him was a man suffering from abnormal swelling of his body, or some translations say dropsy, which I had to look up. Somebody asked on Facebook, like, hey, what's dropsy? And I'm like, dropsy, what are you? Oh, that's the word that's used in a lot of translations for that. And apparently it's edema or abnormal swelling. So there's a man suffering from this physical ailment. Jesus asked the Pharisees and experts in the law, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? This is one of the things that he's already gotten yelled at for more than once, because the Sabbath is supposed to be a day of rest. It's supposed to be a day where you focus on God and you don't do any work. And at some point, they decided, you know what, healing people, helping people is work. You know, it takes a lot out of you, helping somebody. And so that's work, and so you don't do that on the Sabbath. It's like, look, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? But they remained silent. So taking hold of the man, he healed him and sent him on his way. Then he asked them, if one of you has a child or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull it out? And they had nothing to say. Like, if your kid falls into a well, are you going to say, oh, sorry, it's the Sabbath, got to wait till sundown, then I'll come down after you? No, you're not going to do that. Or even like an ox. If you have an ox that falls into a well, which I'm thinking, how does an ox climb into a... And then I remember, like, oh, the wells they had then aren't like the wishing wells I remember from, like, cartoons and stuff as a kid. They would be like a big open area that didn't have nearly as tall of a lip on it, and where oxen and other animals could go and just go right up to the edge of the well and drink. And so apparently sometimes an ox gets spooked and jumps and falls into that well. He says, wouldn't you right away pull that thing out, even though it's the Sabbath? And of course, they had nothing to say. I think maybe this little question he asks, it's helping me to get at what perhaps was the difference between the way Jesus was looking at people and the way they were looking at people. I mean, he appeals to them to something that they're, you know, the expected answer to them is like, well, of course we would. If a child fell in, if one of our kids fell in the well, if one of our ox got stuck in the well, of course we would pull them out, even though it's the Sabbath. We wouldn't just leave it there to die. And so Jesus is thinking, well, so why won't you help these people right in front of you? Why would you complain that they are getting helped, that their lives are being rescued, that they're being set free from what's dominated their lives and caused them suffering for so long? Why would you complain that they are being helped on the Sabbath? And the thought in my head is, well, because in those religious leaders' mind, that person in need, that person with dropsy, or there was a woman in another story who's like been bent over for 18 years and unable to straighten up and walk, or there's a man with a shriveled hand, or there's all these different people that Jesus ends up healing on the Sabbath. This person in need, that they see right in front of them, that apparently to them, that person is in a very different category than their own child would be. Which makes sense to me, right? I mean, those of you who have kids, you're probably like, well, this is my kid. That's your kid. You're responsible for that kid. But I'm responsible for my kid. I'm guessing you probably love your kid more than you love their kid. It's just my guess. But then he also mentions, like, your ox. If your ox falls in there, I'm thinking, do these people think more of the animal that they own? And an ox probably wasn't a pet, you know, for them. It was like something an ox would help pull the plow, or was an investment. It was part of their savings because one day that ox might be slaughtered and, you know, bring income to the family or something. And here this human being right in front of them who's suffering is less valuable than their ox. Now there's this part of me that wants to say, how could they think like that? How could they? And just wants to look down on them as if I'm so much better, as if I don't value my own kids more highly than a person in need in front of me. As if I don't even sometimes value my own stuff, you know, more than I value the lives of some person that is in need that's in front of me. I mean, if I want to be honest, we talked before, like, who are you in these stories? And we want to be the good guy, but frankly, many times if we're reflective enough, and we're in a season of Lent, it's a time for reflection and repentance. I mean, frankly, sometimes I'm much more like these Pharisees. Like, that's somebody else's kid. That's somebody else's problem. I make sure my own kids have clean water and a house and shelter and all this, but that's somebody else's kid to worry about getting clean water for them. Or sometimes, frankly, we put it on them, you know? Like, well, if they hadn't made those bad choices, I've made good choices. That's why I'm living a good life and why I don't have their problems. But they made those choices, and that's why they're seeking out the services of an abortion clinic. They made those terrible choices, and that's why they have those kids. And we shouldn't have to pay for other people to make bad choices about the kids that they have or something like that. Why aren't they still with the father? Or we hear Christians say all sorts of negative things, don't we, about people that make choices that we disagree with, almost as ways to say, that's their problem. That's not our problem. My life is more important than their life. Jesus gets right up in their faces about this, and frankly, he's getting right up in mine as well. One thing that I heard at the Team World Vision gathering in Chicago last weekend, something that those folks who work for Team World Vision, who are pouring every ounce of their energy into that, who are taking pay cuts to leave other, you know, corporate jobs or better paying jobs to come work for this nonprofit, as they visit these people in these other places, a phrase that more than one of them used was they realize that there aren't There's no such thing as other people's kids. These are all our kids. These are all, we're all family on this planet. And here we've got some family members on the other side of the world who are in need, who are suffering. And those are my kids too. They're not other people's kids. And that's still kind of, I'm still kind of working through the ramifications of that in my brain. And what does that mean for my own life and for the way we handle our money and our stuff and all the rest? All right, so Jesus continues. This isn't the end of his conversation at this meal at this house of this prominent Pharisee. It says, when he noticed how the guests picked the place of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, hey, give this person your seat. Then humiliated, you'll have to take the least important place, the only seats left, if everyone's trying to sit in the places of prominence. But when you're invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he'll say to you, friend, move up to a better place. Then you'll be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Just as they said, the entrance requirement is to humble ourselves and to recognize our need. It's interesting the way this parable is phrased, because it's almost, he's almost appealing to them on that, like, you want to be honored? Oh, well, here's how to get honored. You know, take a humble place so that when the host comes in, he'll honor you in front of everybody, and then you'll be even more honored, you know, because everyone will be noticing, like, oh, hey, he must be special. The host is bringing him up to sit right next to him. And of course, it'd be horribly embarrassing, I suppose, to be told, hey, somebody more important than you is here. We need you to move down there. Like, oh, okay, all right. It's like he's appealing to their vanity or appealing to their desire to be honored, to try to persuade them to do what Jesus calls all of us to do, to humble ourselves, to do what Jesus himself did, taking the very nature of a servant, to put other people first. But like he says, I mean, it all leads up to the saying that we've heard him say before, that those who exalt themselves, well, one day, the humble one's going to come. You know, if you're always trying to puff yourself up, always trying to make yourself seem important, always putting yourself above other people, one day you'll have the stark realization that you are not better than anybody else, and you'll find yourself humbled. Maybe we should pause and pray for whoever is being helped by these folks. Actually, could we do that real quick? I don't know what's going on, but somebody's needing help. God, we don't know what's going on out there. Somebody needs some help. We pray that you will be with those first responders who are on their way, that they will be able to be instruments in your hands, and that you will grant help through them to the people in need. Thank you, God, for these servants who are working 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, to help us. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, yeah, so one day we'll all be aware of just how equal we all are, whether we recognize it now or not. And then it says in verse 12, Jesus said to his host, when you give a luncheon or dinner, don't invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives, your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you'll be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. It reminds me a little of what Jesus said in Matthew's gospel when he's talking about praying in secret and giving in secret and fasting in secret, where he says, if you do this so that others will applaud, well, they'll applaud, and that'll be the only reward you get. But if you do these, he called them acts of righteousness, if you do these good things secretly, then the only person who's going to know is your Heavenly Father, and he will be the one that rewards you. And you'd rather have the whatever rewards your Heavenly Father is handing out than whatever applause or recognition or, you know, getting invited over to their house after you invited them to your house, or, you know, oh, I paid this time, so you'll pay next time. And you know, that's nice and all, but wouldn't you rather have your Heavenly Father being the one that recognizes and repays you? It says, if you are truly doing this because you want to do good, because you think it's earning you credit with God in some way, well, just inviting over people who are going to invite you back over to their house, that's not how this works. It says, serve the poor. Go to those who are in need. They will never pay you back, but God will. And before he gets to that repayment language, he says, and you will be blessed. I think that's separate from the whole you'll be repaid thing. I think he's just saying, look, you'll be blessed by spending time with the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. By spending time with these people that maybe you've been looking down on, you may come to realize, wow, they really have something to offer. I should have been paying more attention to these folks from the start. You'll be blessed. And then before he leaves, it says, when one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. Yep, one day when God's kingdom comes and we're all eating at that feast, blessed are those who get to be a part of that. And Jesus replied, well, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who'd been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, oh, I've just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, oh, I just got married, so I can't come. The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there's still room. Then the master told his servant, go out into the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. And Jesus is not so subtly telling these folks who think of themselves as the invited, because they have been invited. They're like the older brother in the story that Jesus tells in the very next chapter that we'll read tomorrow. They are the older brother. They are the people of God who for generations now have known God's goodness and God's love and his invitation into this covenant relationship where the God of the universe blesses them. They've had this opportunity all this time. They've been invited to the great banquet. They've been invited to the moment of celebration where God finally makes all things right. And now that God is doing this in Jesus, they're finding every excuse not to be a part of it. Not to be a part of what God is doing in the world as he brings his blessing to everyone he can find. See, the heart of God is to bless. The heart of God is to do good, is to throw this party and to have his house full. And he wants everybody to be a part of that. And those of us who find ourselves, I mean, I've been a Christian almost my entire life. And I'm 44, so that's a long time. Well, it seems like to me it's a long time. Sorry, I know some of you are like, whatever. Talk to me when you're 60. I've been a Christian for a long time, and it's really easy for me to fall into these traps that the Pharisees are falling into. And I need to listen to Jesus. I need to listen to people like the folks at Team World Vision. I need to listen to folks who bring me back and remind me, look, it's not about you doing all these right things. It's not about you being faithful like the older brother in the story we'll read tomorrow. The heart of God is for those who are left out. The heart of God is for everyone. And if I can't see that, if I don't want to be a part of that, well, the party's going to happen, and I just might get left out of it. So it's a challenge. The challenge that Jesus makes to us as we have gathered at the table with him. He's not that polite of a house guest. He's going to go ahead and let us know what we need to know so that we can be a part of the great banquet, so we can be a part of the great party that God is throwing, so that we can have our hearts beating with the heart of God for the people around us, so that we don't miss out on who God is and what God is doing. I pray that none of us will miss out on that. Now, of course, I've been mostly speaking to those of you who are like me. You've been around a while. You've been a Christian a while. But I know that some of you maybe are on the very beginning end of this. Maybe you feel like you've been an outsider. Maybe you've been feeling like, well, I didn't even know about this party. I didn't even know that God loved me. And today, perhaps you're wanting to get in on it. The invitation's open. I mean, like they said in the video, all that's required is that we humble ourselves, that we say, you're right, God. I've messed this up. I need your help. And trust in the mercy and the goodness and the grace of God that he's shown us in Jesus Christ. You could make that step today. But before we pray and celebrate communion together, I am curious, is there anybody that walked in with just a question burning on your heart that you're dying to ask about what we've read this last week? Yeah, Tom, yeah. We probably only got time for a couple of them, so.
In the beginning of the chapters that we read for this week, Jesus sends out his disciples to go to other towns. He tells them if they're not welcome, don't stay. But then he points out a couple towns and says, woe to them. What is he warning his disciples that not to go to these towns, or be careful when you go to these towns? There were Chorazin and Bethsaida.
Yeah, I think if I remember right, and I'd have to go back and look exactly, I think what Jesus was doing there was he was saying, look, you guys haven't been open. You haven't been open to what God's wanting to do. And so he's telling them, look, woe to you. You're going to miss out. So I don't think he's warning the disciples, hey, don't go there. I think it's almost like the other way, like, we've tried, and you've rejected, and that's not going to lead you in a good direction. But I'll have to go back and read it and make sure. I think that's what he was saying. Kind of like he's saying, woe to you Pharisees. You know, you're missing out, and what's coming is not blessing. It's woe. What's coming your way? I think so. I think that's, he's probably talking to his disciples, but I think the point of that is like, woe to you towns who have not accepted the good news. Anybody else that you got a question that's burning that you wanted to ask? No? Okay. All right. Then I'm gonna lead us in a prayer, and then we're gonna celebrate communion together before we go. God, thank you. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for Luke and his sharing with us these stories of Jesus as he confronts people, frankly, people like me sometimes, people like some of us in this room, where we find ourselves forgetting that we're just like everybody else. We find ourselves starting to think more highly of ourselves than we should, and looking down on those around us. And God, would you forgive us? And would you help us to follow in the way of Jesus, that we would be willing to humble ourselves, that we wouldn't put our own religious rules ahead of the human being standing right in front of us, that we wouldn't let anything stop us from reaching out in love to people that you love, people in need. God, continue, please, to challenge us. Don't let this go. If this is something that you know that we need to work on, God, I pray that you would help these stories to keep echoing in our brains. I pray that you would keep us up. I pray that you would not let us let go of this until we do something, until we wrestle through it with you and find out what you would have us to do to reshape our lives, to reorient our thinking, our perspective. Because, God, we don't want to miss out on the work you're doing in the world. We don't want to miss out on the great celebration as you are setting people free, as you are bringing wholeness to people's lives, as you are welcoming in those that others have pushed aside. Help us, God. Help us to pay attention to your Holy Spirit as you guide us each and every day. Thank you, God. Thank you that when we become aware of the ways that we have failed in this life, we become aware of the ways that we have been like that younger brother in the story, that where we have wasted what you've given us. God, help us to come to our senses like he did. Perhaps today is that moment for us, where we are willing to come to you and just confess it all, to admit it all, to come clean with you, God, that we have messed this up, that we have sinned against you, we have sinned against each other. We've not lived this life the way you would have us live it. Thank you, God, that, as the Bible says, when we confess our sins, you are faithful, you are just, you forgive us our sins, and you cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You wash us clean. You embrace us as your lost children coming home. You fill us with your Holy Spirit to transform our lives, to make us alive where we had been dead. to lead us in a new way of life. Thank you, God. Please continue to speak by your Holy Spirit through these stories of Scripture as we continue to pay attention to you, to pay attention to Jesus. It's because of Jesus that we're here today. I mean, it's because you sent him to point us toward you and ultimately to give his life for me, for my sin, for all of us, for the sins of the world. God, we thank you that we have this sacrament we get to celebrate each week where we offer you these simple gifts of bread and juice, and we pray that your Holy Spirit would meet us here and that we would meet our risen Savior in his body and in his blood, remembering that he died on that cross for my sin. He died on that cross for the sins of the person that annoys the heck out of me. He died on that cross for the sins of those people that I've been pushing aside. Jesus gave his life for them. He loves them that much. God, we thank you that we get to experience this forgiveness and we get to be agents of yours, carrying your grace and the good news of forgiveness to all those you send us to. Today, God, we give you ourselves. Open, honest, admitting it all. Trusting in your grace and in your forgiveness. And asking you to fill us with your Holy Spirit. That we might live in this world as the body of Christ. As your sons and daughters. Thank you, God. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you pray with me the prayer that Jesus taught us? Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. The band's going to come lead us in one last song as we celebrate communion together. I'll be here with the basket of bread and a cup of grape juice. And as we sing, you're invited to come forward, take bread from the basket, dip it in the juice, and eat it, and then return to your seats. This is open to all of us who are saying yes to Jesus today. Whether you've been following Jesus a long time or whether you're just deciding today to begin following him, you're invited to come and to meet him at his table to celebrate his goodness and his grace. The love that he's shown in his willingness to go to the cross to give his life for you and for me. So let's celebrate. Let's give him thanks. Once again, God, we give you thanks for the love you've shown us in Jesus Christ, that you would be willing to sacrifice for us, that you would think of us so highly. Help us, God, to see ourselves as that valuable and to see everyone we meet this week as that valuable, that you would give your life for them. Thank you, God. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that guides us, that empowers us to live a life that reflects your grace and your love to the world. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go in peace.